In the waning hours of Tisha B'Av, it's appropriate to speak about Inyanei Galus and Geula, and to help us sharpen and focus ourselves in to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Chorban. And I think it's appropriate this time to review some of the ideas related to the Kosel HaMaravi, this point, this light in which we turn to in order to focus our tefillos when we come to Eretz Yisrael, to talk about some halachos and hashkafas related to this this extremely holy and very special wall. The Medrash in Shir HaShirim Rabbah says, Hine Zeh Omed Achar Koslenu, that Hashem, our beloved, stands behind the wall. Says the Medrash, Achar HaKosam HaRavi Shalbeis HaMigdash Shunishpalo HaKadosh Baruch Hoshenu Achar HaVeolam, that Hashem stands behind the wall of the Kosel HaRavi, in which He swore, which He promised, that He would never have destroyed forever. The Bamidbar Rabbah and the Shmos Rabbah say, Amar Rav Acha LaOlam, Ein Shechina Zazami Kosam HaRavi Shnemar, Hinei Zeh Omed Achar Koslenu. Again, the same idea is reflected in a different Medrash. In the Sefer Eila Masai of Rav Moshe Chagiz, he writes that the Kosel HaRavi is in the foundation that was built by David HaMelech, and that the Goyim will never, ever, ever have control over it, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu promised us that it will never be destroyed. And the Zohar says, "Dishchinsa tasai kosam aravi diura delay al sham diu tel shakol ponim alav." Why is it called the Kosel? Says the Zohar, because it is the tel, it is the mountain, it is the point that is chafav, where we designate our tefillos of the 26 letter name of Hashem. That's the Kosel. It's the mountain. It's the point in which we direct our tefillos. Now, what is exactly the Kosel? What exactly was it, the structure? This is a big machlokas amongst the Rishonim that we're not going to go into right now, but just to give the basic background, just to understand, the Chachma Sadam, the Ridbaz, and the Titzel Yezer all understand the Kosel is in fact the wall of the Azara. It's the wall of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. However, the Avnei Nezer, the Sakhut Shavarebi, the Tzvuas Haaretz, Rabbi Chil Mecha Tukachinsky, the Mishkanos, the Abri Yaakov, all explain that, no, it is not the wall of the Beis HaMikdash, it is the wall of the courtyard surrounding the Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbi Chil Mecha Tukachinsky, in his Sefer, has a very, very long chapter in which he shows that, based on measurements in Maseches Midos, how it cannot be the wall of the Beis HaMikdash itself, and if it was the wall of the Beis HaMikdash, we would all be in very, very big trouble, because you cannot touch the wall of the Beis HaMikdash in certain areas. You certainly cannot put your hands into the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. That would not be appropriate regarding laws of Tum and Tara. And therefore, it has been the minhag of Klal Yisrael to assume that the wall that we call the Kosel is in fact the wall of the surrounding courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, but not the Beis HaMikdash itself. The Mefarshim explain that the Kosel is like the luz bone of the body. We all are all familiar with the Medrash that says that there's a bone in the back of our spine called the luz bone, and that is the part of the body that will be used to regenerate by the time of Tchiyas HaMesim, and that's why we know we're supposed to have a good Malav HaMalka, because Malav HaMalka gives nutrition to the luz bone. That's a topic for a different time. But just like the luz bone was the point where their Tchiyas HaMesim will happen for the person, so to the Kosel HaRavi is the untouchable and the undestroyable point in which the Beis HaMikdash will come from once again. And for a time immemorial, the Jewish people have visited the Kosel to daven. The minhag Yerushalayim is to walk to the Kosel during the Shalosh Regalim, especially for Sukkos, when you can wave Dalin Minim, according to the Rambam, Midah Raisa, because the Rambam holds that all of the Old City is considered Mikdash, and according to the Rambam, all the Old City would be an area in which you could wave Luv and Esrog Midah Raisa all 7 days. In addition, many people have the minhag to go to the Kosel for Kabbalah Shabbos, Erev Rosh Hashanah, Hoshana Rabbah, Yom Kippur Katan. It is a focal point of tefillah for the Jewish people throughout all time, specifically during an Eis Tzara. During times of difficulty, we find Gedolei Gedolei Yisrael telling us to go to the Kosel and to daven there. In the Sefer Chemdas Yamim, we're not sure so who the author is of the Chemdas Yamim, but the Chemdas Yamim is of the period of the Talmidim, of the Talmidim of the Arizal. So he records the following story about Rav Avram Halevi, who was very, very, very sick and at death's door, and he went to the Arizal asking what to do. And the Arizal told him as follows, He was about to die, this great tzaddik. V'nichnas eitz lo harav, and he went to the Arizal, lebakro. V'yomer lo hein kirbu yamech lamos, you're about to die, said the Arizal. Achein lo amdecha lo hoil, I'm going to teach you something that's going to make you better. V'imkota say yusif lechod chaf beishak. If you listen to me, I guarantee you'll get 22 more good years. Kibal alecha me'ata alecha sespal lifnei kosam aravi. The first thing is, you need to travel from Tzvas all the way south to go daven at the Kosal. V'tishboch t'chinascha sham, and pour out your tefillos there. V'tizke liros p'nei ha'shchina, you will merit to see the Shechina. V'tisraf miyad mechalecha, you will be healed. U'miyad, immediately he got up, he got the body together, he schlepped his sick body down to Yerushalayim, and the Chemda Semen goes on to explain that he got to the Kosel, and he had some sort of vision, and he passed out, and he had the makabel out himself, tshuva and stucca and tefillin, all types of things, and he lived for another 22 years. Again, we see, it's not just sufficient, though, to go to the Kosel and to hang out there. You need to go to the Kosel and do something. You need to be makabel on yourself. Tshuva, tefillah, stucca, it's not just a magical thing that if you touch the wall of the Kosel, everything's fine. But it's a place to connect, and it's a place to enhance our spirituality, and a place to have a greater understanding of what it means to have Ashras HaShechina. In the Sefer Shari Yushalayim, it records that the minhag of going to the mikvah and then removing one's shoes before approaching the Kosel, this was practiced by the Minchas Alazar. There's a famous journal, diary, recording the events of the Minchas Alazar, the Munkach Rebbe, when he went to visit Yerushalayim, the Masa of Yerushalayim, and records that he went to the mikvah, and he removed his shoes before approaching the Kosel. The Imre Chaim of Vizhnitz often wondered how come that when non-religious people come to the wall, they seem to be overcome with emotion, a seriousness. They may begin to cry, they may begin to re-examine their life. What is it about approaching the wall of the Kosel that moves a person to tshuva, or moves a person to re-examine themselves? So the Imre Chaim explained as follows. He said that the Gemara in Sota says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu and a Baal Gaiva can't live in the same place. Right? Hashem says, if you have Gaiva, if you're haughty, me and you, we can't live in the same world at the same time. Either I'm going to go, or you're going to go. But we saw from the Medrash, says the Imre Chaim, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu will never move from the Kosel. So if a Kadosh Baruch Hu is permanently implanted at the Kosel, and he's never going to move, and the Shechina will never leave there, then who's going to have to give in? The Baal Gaiva has to give in. And therefore, Hashem, so to speak, breaks his Gaiva. Hashem removes all the pretentiousness and the thoughts that he knows better, he doesn't need Hashem. And when a person comes close to the wall, it all melts away. Because Hashem is not moving, and therefore, you're going to have to give in. And that's what the Imre Chaim explains, the power of the Kosel. We'll just end this point with one more story. Actually, you know what? Just for the sake of time. Maariv is 8:42, right? For the sake of time, we'll skip a story. We'll save the story for another time. And we'll discuss some, I think, important halachos. Now, we're not going to discuss the issue of Kriya by the Kosel. We don't have time for that. We're not going to discuss which direction to face towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim or not towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We've discussed that in the past. We're not going to discuss the inyan of putting a note in the Kosel or the issue of reading somebody else's note in the Kosel. We've discussed that in the past as well. I want to talk about other minhagim, ideas and practices that reflect our tone and our kavana as we approach the Kosel. The Yaskil Avdi, Ravaja Hadaya, writes in Ches that we don't recite Shechianu when we see the Kosel for the first time in your life. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Simachti ba'omrim libeis Hashem neilech. We need to be besimcha when you come to Beis Hashem. When you come to the Kosel, we are not totally besimcha. It's a place of Chorban, it's a place of reminding us that we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. However, in the Sefer Shivchei HaRa'aya, which is a collection of stories about Rav Kook, it tells the story of a man who visited the Kosel for the first time, and he made a Shechianu, and Rav Kook agreed with his decision. In the Tshuvas Avnei Derech Rav Elchanan Prince in Chelek Gimel, he discusses this and says that there's a sadness over the Chorban. Yes, we're happy to be there, and it's very holy, but there's a sadness over the Chorban when we come to the Kosel. It's not the Beis HaMikdash, and not exactly our friends are up there where we'd like to be instead of them. But it's not something that brings us great joy. And therefore, it might not be appropriate to say Shechianu. And he said, Rav Nevensol told him the same thing, Rav Yitzchak Yosef told him the same thing, and at the end of the tshuva, he brings a letter that he received from Rav Shar Yashav Cohen, Rav Gonen's son-in-law, and he told him in this letter that when Rav Shlomo Yosef Zevin came to the Kosel for the first time after escaping Russia, he tore Kriya and recited Shechianu at the same time. In the same moment, he tore Kriya and he said Shechianu upon seeing the Kosel. And he explained, this is what the Navi Yeshaya says, "As tiri v'nahartu pachad v'rachal v'veich," that you'll see and it will be radiant and your heart will be startled and it will be moved. You can encompass two emotions at the same time. You can experience a Shechianu upon seeing the Kosel, and you can tear Kriya over its sadness. I would probably say Halacha L'maisa, the minhag is not to say Shechianu, but again, these dual emotions at being at the Kosel. The Sefer Tshuvas V'Hanagos from Shurmach Reis in Chelekei, and he discusses the practice of some groups who come to the Kosel to dance together. He's very much against this. He feels it's a practice that should be stopped. How can you dance in front of the Chorban Habayis? How can you do such a thing? Dance besimcha in front of a destroyed Beis HaMikdash? We should have agbas nefesh. We should have feelings of pain regarding the chil kvod Hashem, that the Gaim have control over the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach and the Halicha Shlomo also felt it's not proper to dance and to have parading in front of the Kosel. It's a meso muta lefanav. You have a dead relative in front of you. How appropriate to dance in front of it? How could you do such a thing? He says there is an established minhag to do it. He says you shouldn't protest. You shouldn't tell somebody to stop. But personally, he felt it shouldn't be done to have dancing in circles and singing in front of the Kosel. What about the minhag to go to the Kosel for 40 straight days? I'm sure we've all heard of this in some form. Someone's going to go to the Kosel for 40 days and consider it to be a big segula. So in the Sefer Tzadik Yisod Olam, it records that Rav Shlomo of Shvil would advise people in need to daven at the Kosel for 40 days in a row. And he said you could use a shaliach to do this if you need to. In the Sefer Surid Beis Mikdashenu, it records that the inyan of 40 days is inyan gadol amol yeshuas gadolos. We see great yeshuos. Lo Yosef, it shouldn't be more. Perhaps it doesn't work with a shaliach. And the stipler was a fan of such a minhag. Now the Tshuvas V'Hanagos from Sturmbach in Chelek Dalet was asked about a woman who'd been married for some time without having children. And she began to visit the Kosel and daven there for 40 days with the hope that this would bring a child to her life. But what happened? It's Erev Shabbos. So she lives far away from the Kosel, not necessarily an easy walking distance. So what's going to be over Shabbos? So what does she want to do? She wants to light candles early, and she wants to light candles on condition to not accept Shabbos, and then take a ride to the Kosel. So she'll at least get in Shabbos. Shabbos will count. That'll be, she'll accept Shabbos early. And then she'll walk back that night. So Rav Shurmach writes back to the lady that he allows her to do this because we generally do not allow a person to light candles on condition. But here she would be driven by someone else and she wouldn't really be violating any technical malachos. And he argues that technically she could go on Friday during the day and then go Motzei Shabbos. And Motzei Shabbos would be considered like Shabbos regarding the 40 days. And he says, V'chol levavos doresh Hashem. As long as it's all l'shem Hashem, you got a day over here, you miss a day over here. It's all about having the right kavanah. And he says that the segula, in fact, may work in any place, not just by the Kosel. If you go consistently to a base medrash every day, and you daven 40 days in a row on a specific matter for a specific thing, and perhaps it would work. Next, Rav Yosef Septimus in the Sefer Karalai Moed, he notes that a person must weigh the time spent traveling to the Kosel versus the bittul Torah that may come from it. It's very nice you want to go to the Kosel to daven, but every single time you go, it's a bus, and it's a back and forth, and another back and forth, and it's a big deal of time. And he quotes the Gemara in Brachos that says that if a person sits and learns Torah, the Shechina rests with him. The Gemara says that from time of the Chorban, a Kadosh Baruch Hu rests in Dal Amo Shel Halacha. So you have to understand, if you're learning well in Beis Medrash, you have Hashras HaShechina. So why even leave that Hashras HaShechina, that connection with Hashem, to go to the Kosel? And the stipler in Chelek Beis and Orchos Rabbeinu felt that it was generally usher to travel to the Kosel if it would put someone out of yeshiva and cause Bittul Torah. So a person needs to weigh Bittul Torah versus going to the Kosel. Another halacha related to the Kosel is the Gemara Nedarim. Eizu Isser Ha'amor B'Torah. What's an Isser? In the Torah, you put, a person puts a chayram, a nedar on themselves. What is an Isser? Amar harein shal uchal basar v'shal yishta yayin kiyom shemeis bo aviv, kiyom shemeis bo rabo, kiyom shenerag ben gadai ben achikam, kiyom shereisi yushalayim b'chor bana. So the Gemara in the Darim seems to assume that there was a practice of not having meat and wine when you saw Yerushalayim in its destruction. And the Kaftar Beferach, the classic sefer on Minhagi in Halachos of Eretz Yisrael, sees that the Gemara is telling us that it's usher to eat meat and drink wine on the day you see Yerushalayim b'Charbana. The Pesach HaShulchan on the Talmud Agra says that it's proper for a person to not have basar v'yayin the first time a person sees Yerushalayim b'Charbana. This is cited by the Mishnah Berurah in Tafkuf Samach Aleph, Ir HaKodesh V'HaMikdash, Rabbi Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky, and Rosh Shlomo Zalman in the Mincha Shlomo and Tshuva at Chelek Alv says, this is all Midas Chasidus. Again, most people here have seen the Kosel for the first time. But for a person who's going to the Kosel for the first time, it would be Midas Chasidus, it would be proper, it would be nice to abstain from meat and wine on that day, because you saw Yerushalayim B'Chorbana at its first time. The day that you have seen it. Correct. So you have fleishig breakfast on the way to the Kosel, if that's what the hotel is serving. So, he says, though, because Midas Chasidus, if you have a wedding on that day and you saw the Kosel that morning, let's say you come to Eretz Yisrael for a cousin's wedding, first time in Eretz Yisrael, you go to the Kosel, and you're going to the wedding that night. So he says, it's a Midas Chasidus. If it means not partaking in the Sudas Mitzvah, then you can push it aside and partake in the wedding. I want to end with, for me, is probably the one that sticks in my mind the most, and it's one that I have the biggest difficulty with when I see it for other people. This is not a personal critique on anybody in particular, but it just speaks to an emotion and a feeling about how you relate to the Kosel and the Chorban Habayis, and how you conduct yourself in that regard. Is it proper to stand in the plaza of the Kosel with you and your family and to take a photograph with the Kosel as the background? Is that appropriate? Is that speak to somebody who reflects and takes seriously that the Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed? Reb Zilberstein has a tshuva in Aleinu L'Shabeach, and he says, Ein b'zeh davar yashar. He says, I don't see anything right about doing such a thing. Reb Chaim David Alevi, the Rav of Tel Aviv, in his Aseh Lecha Rav in Chelek Vav, was asked by a chassan whether he could take wedding pictures with the Kosel as the background. And he explains that because of the Koach HaKadush of the Har Habayis, you should avoid Kalis Rosh, doing frivolous things in the surrounding area. And therefore, one should not go to the Kosel in order to take pictures. This is also the opinion of Avadji Yosef in the Alka Yosef in Arachayim Chelek Vav, and Arachayim Greenblatt in the River Sephraim in two places. Is it usher to take a picture by the Kosel? I can't say it is, or I can't say it's not. But I will make the following point. To have a picture where, whether it's your WhatsApp photo, or whether it's a picture in your house with you and your family, smiling, gleaming, in front of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, in my mind, it seems odd. It just seems strange. Either it speaks to the fact that the Kosel is nothing more than a national landmark for the Jewish people, or it speaks to the fact that we don't understand what it means that the Beis HaMikdash is b'Chorbana. That we can go through a Tisha B'Av and read all of the kinos and reflect on all the things we were supposed to be reflecting on, and then to go and stand in front of the Chorban Beis HaMikdash with plastered smiles on our faces, saying, we're happy to be here. Of course we're happy to be here. We know you're happy to be in Israel. But why does the Kosel need to be the background to that? Why does the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash need to be the background to our family photos? It's a kasha, again. Can we say it's usher? I'm not sure. But I think it reflects deeply on a person's perspective regarding the Chorban Beis HaMikdash and how they relate to the Beis HaMikdash and how they relate to the Kosel. It should be Be'ezras Hashem that we should be able to take pictures with our families in front of a rebuilt Beis HaMikdash, and we should no longer have to deal with just a Kosel. But until we're at that point, I think it behooves us to reflect deeply on how we conduct ourselves at the Kosel, to not treat it as simply a place to go and to hang out and to gather, but to realize the holiness of that place and what that place truly represents, so we can lead ourselves to rebuild Beis HaMikdash. Meher v'yameinu. Amen.